This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Kraken. Every day we encounter hundreds of symbols in corporate logos, music, the media we watch, and the products we consume. Some are harmless, but others subtly influence our behavior without us realizing it. Our brains process symbols faster than words. Our subconscious absorbs them, forming a language that can be exploited. Immersion in these symbols changes how we think and act. Hidden figures control these symbols, using influential people we trust to spread them. Politicians, actors, musicians, and other public figures use symbols to identify each other and prove loyalty to those in control. These symbols shape our opinions and behaviors, reinforcing a hidden agenda. It's all part of their grand plan, and so far, the plan is working.
Newman, I need your help. It's an emergency. I caused a ripple in the space-time continuum.
How is that even possible?
I finally finished building my time machine, so I took it to the future and...
Hang on. What time machine?
Remember I was building a time machine?
No.
Oh, thought we set that up a few sponsor ads ago.
Okay, so you did what?
A ripple in the space-time continuum. I owe myself $30,000 in the future. I need to fix this fast.
You owe yourself? How does that even work?
Well, the future me is really bad with money, so I came back a few years to borrow some scratch from me. But that me was still in the future, but not as far in the future as the future me, you see?
No, I have no idea.
But that future me only had about $5,000. So the future me kept going back and borrowing from all the future me's until I had racked up about 30 G's worth of debt to future me with interest.
Why would you charge yourself interest?
You are missing the point. I need to prevent myself from going into debt in the first place so this timeline never happens.
You need to invest smarter. Put some money away and let it grow over time. How about cryptocurrency?
Oh, they use crypto in the future after the petrodollar collapses.
Please don't tell me that.
$30 trillion in national debt doesn't just go away, you know. Those chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, let's save that for another ad.
Fine. So we're gonna get some of this crypto.
Use the cryptocurrency exchange I do. Kraken.
Oh, what's that I smell? Did I just get a little whiff of sponsor?
You sure did. If you're one of those people looking to get into crypto, or you're simply looking for a better way to trade, check out Kraken. Over 13 million people trust Kraken, and it's easy to see why. Kraken is packed with powerful trading features, like advanced charting tools, real-time market data, and lightning-fast trade execution, allowing you to track your performance, plan your trading strategies, and make your next move, all in one place. Kraken's usability doesn't come at the expense of security either. They protect your assets with some of the highest standards of security in the country. And if you've ever got questions, Kraken's award-winning support team is on standby 24/7. Online, in the app, whenever you need it. Whatever trading strategies you've got in your playbook, Kraken gets you started with as little as $10.
$10, huh? I guess I could spare that between now and whenever the future me is from.
Head over to kraken.com/theyfiles and make your next move. This is not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss and is offered to U.S. customers through Payward Interactive, Inc. View legal disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
kraken.com/theyfiles to get started.
That's right. And look, they may be a sponsor, but I've actually been a Kraken customer for many years.
All right, I'll grab some crypto and hopefully prevent future me from being in so much debt. Wait, well, what happens if I change the future?
Will this ad never have happened? And if it ever happens, how will I know to buy crypto? But if I don't buy crypto, then that future does happen, and so does this ad.
I knew I should have went with the multiverse version of time travel for this bit.
Yeah, you should have. Didn't you learn anything from Marvel?
Oh, sure I did. I learned they should start listening to the fans again.
Every day we're immersed in symbols. Logos on products, images and ads, political emblems. These aren't just decorations. They're crafted to influence our emotions and decisions. But how do they do it? Our brains process symbols rapidly. When we see one, signals go straight from the visual cortex to the limbic system, the part of our brain that evolved first, sometimes called the lizard brain.
Is this an episode about lizard people?
No, today we'll be talking about humans.
Hello, lizard people can shapeshift into humans.
This episode is not about lizard people.
Lizard. Yeah, keep working on it.
The limbic system handles emotions, behavior, and long-term memory. It bypasses rational thought, triggering emotional responses without our awareness. Marketers nudge us toward their products by using symbols linked to positive feelings, happiness, security, success. McDonald's golden arches evoke comfort and familiarity, especially in children.
Yeah, you know, I'm more of a White Castle guy.
Politicians use symbols of patriotism and unity. A flag behind a candidate isn't accidental. It's meant to associate them with national pride. Colors are strategic. Red stimulates urgency. Blue conveys trust.
Yeah, I don't trust red or blue.
Smart. Neuroscience shows that symbols can activate our brain's reward system. Familiar logos release dopamine, a neurotransmitter associated with pleasure. This creates brand loyalty. The exposure effect means the more we see a symbol, the more we tend to like it. Negative symbols influence us too. Warning signs trigger caution, making us subconsciously seek safety. To influence millions of people, flooding our limbic systems with emotionally charged symbols is an effective way to engage our instincts and shape our behavior. We don't realize we're being controlled. So what are these symbols and where do we see them? And big question, who's creating them? I think you know the answer.
Lizard people?
No, the Illuminati.
Yeah, 6-1.
The Illuminati flood our brains with their symbols every day. There's no way we can avoid them. Here are a few you see all the time. The triangle or pyramid, often with an eye, represents surveillance. When you hear the word pyramid, you think of the pyramids of Egypt, which have been there for thousands of years. Pyramids remind us we're being watched by an ancient power that will endure long after we're gone. Sometimes the pyramid is shown unfinished, symbolizing work still in progress. Next is the owl, a symbol of wisdom, but also a symbol of the night. Representing secrecy and hidden knowledge. Not only are we being watched from the darkness, at any time we could become prey. The owl is an important symbol at Bohemian Grove, a secluded retreat where some of the world's most powerful men gather every year. Members include just about every Republican president and other notable figures like Colin Powell and Dick Cheney. But Bohemian Grove isn't a right-wing group. Democrats like Jerry Brown, JFK, Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton have been linked to the Grove.
All camps and members, 1930 to 1997. That is crazy.
Other notable members are John D. Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger. And speaking of those two, in an upcoming Illuminati episode, I'll give you the actual names of the people allegedly pulling the strings.
Let me give you a little teaser there.
No, don't.
Rockefeller, Kissinger, Rothschild, Soros, Gates, Bush, Brzezinski, Cheney, Obama, Epstein,
Clinton. We don't joke about the Clintons.
Wait. We can say some names, but not others? Oh, right. Hey, we ever gonna see that client list?
Nope.
Uh-huh.
At the start of the Bohemian Grove retreat, a human effigy is burned to represent casting away worldly concerns. Members wear long robes and hoods, conducting ceremonies and ancient rites that resemble occult and pagan practices.
The owl is in his sleepy temple. May all within the grove be reverenced before him.
Including mock sacrifices.
What do you mean, mock sacrifices?
Meaning they're not real people.
Are you sure they're not real?
No.
No way, they're sacrificing. They might be sacrificing one of the people they caught.
And all of this is done in front of the owl, symbolizing wisdom and hidden power. The owl can see through darkness, and in that darkness is where the members influence global events.
Yeah, here's where you see all the pictures online. And that's the owl statue. Holy f***. Dude, I'm actually here. This is insane.
The chevron makes us think of the military, a structured authority that uses force to remain in power. Pentagrams and the number 666 we associate with the devil and black magic. And whether you're religious or not, you know these symbols come from paganism, Satanism, and the occult. Google Chrome's logo has been linked to the number 666. It's suggested in the Walt Disney logo. The Monster Energy logo shows three claw marks resembling the Hebrew letter Vav, representing the number 6 in Hebrew numerology. Some even point out that Fox can be linked to 666 through numerology. F-O-X. Using symbols, the Illuminati have been slowly pushing humanity toward an ultimate goal. And to find out what it is, just open your wallet. And passing them around our entire lives. It seems ordinary, but if you look closely, you'll see symbols that tell a story of a hidden power structure working toward a specific goal. There's the pyramid, ancient and enduring strength, but it's unfinished, suggesting work in progress. We know this because of the Latin phrase above it, annuit coeptis, meaning he favors our undertakings or he favors our work. But who is he? Some say it means God, but the word is ambiguous. There are 13 steps on the pyramid. The number 13 is all over the dollar bill. The obvious explanation is the 13 colonies, but 13 is an important number to the Illuminati, whose leaders come from 13 families. Then there's the all-seeing eye, the Eye of Providence. It's said to be God, but the symbol predates Christianity. The Egyptian Eye of Horus meant protection and power. According to their mythology, Horus lost his eye in battle, and the eye was later restored by the god Thoth.
Thoth! I know that guy!
You do. Thoth is the ancient Egyptian god of wisdom, and is said to have written the Emerald Tablet, a text about alchemy and the occult. We have a whole episode on it. It allegedly contains the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone, the secret to immortality.
Link to the gross recipe for immortality down below. Literally. Yuck.
The all-seeing eye watches all of us and oversees the Illuminati's unfinished work. The work is written in Latin under the pyramid. Novus Ordo Seclorum, meaning new order of the ages.
A new world order!
Yep.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
George Bush was telling the truth!
I guess he was.
Yeah, except when he said no new taxes. That was a lie.
It was. So New Order of the Ages isn't just a phrase. It's their ultimate goal. A one-world government. A new world order under their control.
I think the new world order is emerging.
When really a new world order can be created, it's a great opportunity.
There's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
We're in the midst of one of the historic global transformations that is going to eventually lead to a new world order.
Want another clue? Look closely at the upper right corner of the bill. Hidden near the number 1 is a tiny owl, the symbol of wisdom, secrecy, and surveillance, and the mascot of Bohemian Grove, where elites engage in occult-like practices.
It always goes back to the occult with these people.
Always. And that's scary. These symbols are both obvious and invisible. For most, they blend into the background. But if you know where to look, they tell a story of secrecy and manipulation. But why reveal this? Because symbols have the power to shape thought and guide behavior. Every time you use a dollar bill, you engage with this hidden network of control. Every dollar spent brings them closer to completing the project they started 1,000 years ago.
Oh, 1,000 years? How could that be? Who started this?
Well, here's another hint.
Whoa, what's this?
The Baphomet is a figure with a goat's head and wings. It's both male and female. It represents the duality of light and darkness, good and evil, human and beast. And the gesture it's making is known as above, so below, symbolizing the connection between the spiritual and material worlds.
As above, so below? That's
also from the Emerald Tablet.
Right!
The Baphomet often appears with a pentagram, another symbol used in pagan and occult practices.
So the Illuminati are flying goat men? Goat women? Goat, well, I don't want to misgender them. The Illuminati are flying goat people?
No.
Oh.
To find the origin of the Illuminati, we have to trace symbols back through history and find the connections. Take a look at this.
What the hell am I looking at here?
That's Starbucks' original logo.
The Illuminati is Starbucks. Now it makes sense why a cup of coffee is $5.
No, Starbucks is not the Illuminati, but their old logo provides another clue. Look what happens when we turn it upside down.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. That's a goat.
It's a Baphomet. Now, originally, Starbucks said the design came from a 16th century Norse woodcut of a two-tailed mermaid. The problem is, there's no such thing as a 16th century Norse woodcut. That design was taken from the Dictionary of Symbols by J.E. Thurlow, a book containing many occult images. It was created just a few years after the first mention of the Baphomet in history. The year was 1307. That year marked the beginning of the Illuminati and the end of the Knights Templar.
What happened?
Skeptics dismissed the existence of the Illuminati, but they were a real historical organization.
Is a real organization.
Hang on, let me set this up. In the 12th century, a group of warrior monks pledged to keep Christians safe on the journey from Europe to Jerusalem.
Knights Templar linked down in your mama's cookie jar.
And the knights did keep the pilgrims safe. It was in their best interest. The pilgrims were also their customers. The Knights Templar innovated a revolutionary new financial system. Wealthy noblemen could deposit funds at any Templar commandery in Europe and withdraw them in Jerusalem using a letter of credit. This innovation made them very, very rich. Soon, the Knights Templar were a powerful multinational corporation. They had more armed troops than any sovereign nation and more wealth than any king. They owned hundreds of castles and thousands of miles of land from France to the Middle East. In 1307, King Philip IV of France was so indebted to the knights, he knew only one way out: destroy them. So he had the knights charged with heresy, including worshiping Baphomet. Their leaders were hunted, imprisoned, and some were executed. Their wealth and land were seized, and the order was officially disbanded. But the Knights Templar didn't disappear. They split into smaller groups across Europe. In Scotland, they found refuge under King Robert the Bruce, who was excommunicated by the church and welcomed the Templars. The Knights Templar helped the Scots defeat the English and then integrated with Scottish society, but they kept practicing their rituals in secret, this time under a different name.
What names?
Well, when Roslyn Chapel in Scotland was being built in 1446, it required a lot of people with expertise working with brick and stone. You know who those people are?
The Masons!
Yep. The Lodge of Edinburgh, or Mary's Chapel No. 1, is one of the oldest Masonic temples in the world. It has official records going back to 1599, but the building has been in continuous use since the 12th century, maybe by the Knights, maybe by the Masons, maybe by both. Although the Knights Templar were officially gone for 100 years, Roslyn Chapel is full of Masonic and Templar symbols. The Cross Patay, or the Templar Cross, is everywhere. You'll find the pentagram as well as a hexagram, also known as the Seal of Solomon, and two poor soldiers on a horse. Remember, the Knights Templar were officially called the Poor Fellow Soldiers of Christ and the Temple of Solomon. For a Christian church, there's a lot of pagan and occult imagery. The chapel was commissioned by Sir William Sinclair. His tomb is there. His family is closely connected to the Freemasons. One of his descendants was elected the first Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Scotland, a pivotal role in Scottish Freemasonry. Now, there's no hard evidence that Sir William was a Mason, but there is hard evidence he was something else. On his tomb, carved right under his name, is Knight Templar. It appears the Knights Templar weren't gone after all. They rebranded and rebuilt and became known as the Freemasons. In the 1770s, Adam Weishaupt, the law professor in Bavaria, was fed up with the Catholic Church and monarchy controlling every aspect of life. This was a time in history called the Enlightenment, which focused on reason, equality, and the separation of church and state. Weishaupt created a secret society to disrupt the power structure. Another word for enlighten is illuminate. So in 1776, the Illuminati was formed. This clandestine group would infiltrate institutions and spread Enlightenment principles from within. The goal was to subtly influence the people in power. Weishaupt knew exactly where to find Illuminati recruits, the Freemasons. By the 18th century, the Freemasons influenced governments and shaped the most powerful institutions in Europe and America. But Weishaupt didn't think they were radical enough. So he joined the Masons and used psychological tactics to recruit Illuminati members. Because Weishaupt understood how to tap into people's desires for knowledge and influence, the Illuminati grew to almost 3,000 members. They were famous intellectuals, politicians, military leaders, and even nobility. Weishaupt's plan was working. The Illuminati was becoming powerful enough to change the course of history. But it's very difficult to keep a secret society secret. When the Bavarian government heard rumors of a secret group influencing policy, they launched an investigation. They found documents revealing the Illuminati's plan, including how they would destroy the church and the monarchy. In 1785, the order was banned. Members were banished or arrested. Weishaupt spent the rest of his life in exile. Now, was that the end of the Illuminati? Well, maybe not. About 20 years later, a few books were written about how the Illuminati were responsible for the French Revolution. George Washington believed the Illuminati were influencing America, but he wanted it known the Freemasons weren't involved. At least, he hoped they weren't. Remember, George Washington was a Freemason.
It was not my intention to doubt that the doctrines of the Illuminati had not spread in the United States. The idea that I meant to convey was that I did not believe that the Freemasons had endeavored to propagate their diabolical tenets. With respect, etc. George Washington.
In the spring of 1848, revolutions affected over 50 European countries at once. The ruling class was convinced that only the Illuminati could coordinate these events. In the 20th century, the Illuminati were attached to elite groups like Bohemian Grove, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, and the World Economic Forum. And I've covered these groups before.
I put all the links down there in your link chute.
They claim they're not Illuminati groups, but they share the same principles with the Illuminati. Destroy the church, the monarchy, the family, and the individual. Make everyone equal under one government, speaking one language, using one currency, all controlled by an elite few.
Our futures are intrinsically connected to one another as profound challenges to mankind, such as climate change, are globally interconnected and require collaborative responses. We have to uphold our responsibility, which we have towards the next generation, and which we can only fulfill through collaboration on a national and on a global level. I wish you an impactful and successful meeting.
Because those groups are constantly meddling in our lives, we don't trust them. And because we don't trust those groups, we resist them. But like it or not, celebrities can influence us. The Illuminati know this. So they've partnered with the film, TV, and music industries to recruit a secret yet public army.
It's a very hard thing. It requires all of us and all of the people in the media and all of the people who actually feel a responsibility to do more than just the headlines. It requires all of us, and all of us, and all of us, and all of us.
Politicians, actors, artists, and other public figures are seen using hand signs associated with secret societies. Not only do these symbols influence us, they signal loyalty to the elite. Remember, almost all the Illuminati symbols and rituals involve the occult or Satan. And that makes me think of the stories of Tom Walker, Daniel Webster, Faust, and Robert Johnson. It's the same story. A man dreams of wealth, power, money, or fame. Then he meets a mysterious figure who promises all his heart's desire and more in exchange for his soul. In other words, the celebrities became famous by making a deal with the devil. In the world of the elite, symbols are more than just artistic expression. They are a secret language. Celebrities aren't just entertainers. They're key players in a hidden global structure controlled by the Illuminati. A sold-out stadium.
Thank y'all so much.
A song ends. The crowd erupts as a performer raises their hands, forming a triangle in front of their face. But some of us see something more than just the gesture. It's a signal. A signal of loyalty and obedience. A promise that whatever deal they made, they're holding up their end. Those who hold the triangle in front of their face, especially their eye, that's the signal that they're keeping watch over their audience. They're not just influencing their fans, they're monitoring them. And when they show the triangle, that's an acknowledgement that they're in the hierarchy, on one of the steps of the pyramid. But the Illuminati has plenty of eyes on us who aren't yet in the pyramid, but they watch us all the same. The signal for these initiates is covering one eye. If they remain loyal and do their duty, they too can join the pyramid. In addition to the watchers, there are the disruptors. Spot them with this sign. The index finger and pinky raised with the middle and ring fingers folded down. Basically, the rock on gesture, also known as the goat. This symbol represents the Baphomet. It signifies rebellion against the established order and devotion to Illuminati's global control. Next are the prospects. They use the OK gesture, where the index finger and thumb form a circle while the other three fingers are extended. This represents the number 666. This sign is often used by those within the entertainment industry to communicate that they're willing to use their wealth and power to be part of the Illuminati's agenda of control. Finally, there's this one, hands down folded into a diamond shape. You'll see this in formal settings, like public ceremonies or award shows. It indicates senior status and high rank in the Illuminati power structure. You'll mostly see this displayed by political and business leaders. These symbols not only signal allegiance to the Illuminati, but also condition the public, quietly preparing society for the New World Order. And every time you see these symbols, you're witnessing a hidden conversation, a dialogue between those who control the world and those who aspire to. You're watching generals give orders to soldiers, and soldiers acknowledging those orders. They're telling us everything they're doing. We just have to learn to read the signs. Every day we're surrounded by symbols, on our money, in advertisements, and flashed by celebrities on the red carpet. Are secret societies using these symbols to control us? Or is this all a coincidence? Well, let's start with the dollar bill. The pyramid and the all-seeing eye on the $1 bill is the reverse side of the Great Seal of the United States. And we know what the symbols mean because they wrote it down when they were designing it.
The pyramid signifies strength and duration. The eye over it and the motto allude to the many signal interpositions of Providence in favor of the American cause. The date underneath is that of the Declaration of Independence, and the words under it signify the beginning of the new American era, which commences from that date.
Charles Thompson was Secretary to Congress. He took the ideas from three committees and created the final design. There could absolutely be a hidden meaning there, but it's probably not Masonic. Of all the men on the three committees, there was only one Freemason, Benjamin Franklin. He didn't suggest any Mason symbols. And even if he didn't, it didn't matter. All his ideas were rejected. Plus, the Great Seal wasn't on the dollar before 1935. Until then, the back just said one. Then there's the hidden owl, often linked to Bohemian Grove and the secret gatherings of elites. Now, that's not debunked. It's still being debated. Some people think it looks more like a spider than an owl. Another explanation is that the design makes it harder to counterfeit the bill, but nobody really knows. Now, what about the hand gestures celebrities make, like forming a triangle or covering one eye? Now, I can't prove Justin Bieber isn't in the Illuminati, but I'm pretty sure he's not part of a group controlling the world.
I heard that if you play Despacito backwards, it says, eat bugs, live in a pod.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Despacito.
I'll admit, it's tempting to imagine what the world would be like if Kanye West was in charge.
Him though.
I believe that my calling is to be the leader of the free world.
Okay, maybe not Kanye. But the truth is, these celebrities are making these signs because they think it's cool. And the ones that know about the Illuminati story are doing it just to be edgy. Because if I was in the Illuminati, I want a lot more colonels and soldiers and a lot less, well...
Despacito.
Right. The Freemasons and the Knights Templar are real organizations.
I'm Timothy Hogan, Grand Master of the Knights Templar.
And they have a lot of secrets, which only fuel speculation. Both groups do perform rituals and use symbols, that's true. But there's no obvious connection to them in what we'd call the present-day Illuminati. That's not to say a secret government doesn't exist. You know, I believe it does. I don't think it's necessarily a group of occultists or Satan worshippers.
Yeah, they're still evil, though.
Well, go watch our Project Bluebeam video. I make some allegations against globalist groups like the WEF, CFR, Club of Rome, and the Trilateral Commission. In that episode, I describe what they're trying to do. At least, what I think they're trying to do. You decide for yourself if you think they're evil.
Yeah, definitely evil.
So I can't fully debunk all the claims about Illuminati symbolism, but I do think a lot of it is urban legend, coincidence, and our tendency to make connections that aren't there. I don't think there's a group called the Illuminati, but I do think there's a group of elites working together, acting like the Illuminati. Like I said, I'm working on an episode where I name names, though I might have to post that on the podcast. I've been pushing my luck with YouTube lately. But I will be doing another Illuminati video focused on a whistleblower who said she was brainwashed as a child and trafficked by a secret group of wealthy elites. Unfortunately, we know that this does happen.
Show us the client list.
Never gonna happen. But when we release the episode that covers the families and organizations that I believe are secretly running the world, I bet some of those names are on that list. And that reminds me. Here's today's paper. I'm in perfect health. I'm not depressed. I don't like heights, and I have no plans on visiting Lake Mead anytime soon. You know, just in case. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. My name is AJ. There's Hagglefish.
I love you, Charlie, with your fat little body. Oh, golly, Charlie, you're just shubbly wobbly wobbly.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor, like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really helps us out. And like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to thewyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel, and I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. In fact, I've got 7 new scripts to do this week. So it's going to be lively over there. And if you need more Y-Files in your life, and you might not, that's fair. But if you do, check out our Discord. We've got 62,000 members. So 24/7, there's always someone on there hanging out. It's a very supportive community. It's a lot of fun and it's free to join. If you want to know what's going on with the Y-Files at any time, check out our production calendar. It's at thewyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. And special thanks to our patrons who made this episode happen and this whole channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. I can't thank you enough for your support, your trust, and just sticking by me through the good times and the bad. And if you'd like to support the channel and become part of this amazing supportive community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. It's only $3 a month. You get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, merch only available to members. Plus, you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. The whole Y-Files team is on the stream. We all have our webcams on. You can turn your webcam on, jump up on stage, ask a question, suggest a topic, talk about anything you want. I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Wi-Fi store.
Grab a Heckler's t-shirt or get one of these Fistable coffee mugs. No fist is too big. No fist is too small. Or get one of these U2s, voodoo dolls, or a hoodie with my face on it. Or one of these... I got a little frog in my throat there. Sorry about that. Or something else with my face on it. Or one of these squeezy animal talking hecklefish toy dolls.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you... I appreciate it.
Oh, 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 yeah. I play Polybius in Area 51. A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. The crap got in, got stuck inside Mel's hole with MK Ultra, of being only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet circle to Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. Within a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it's over.